Is that a problem? You and Mark have them. Where do you think I got it from? Here, I'll get this and turn it on for you.
I didn't want to rip that off your head.
Well, you can.
But trust me, you could hear me without it.
The ones
just
online
ask,
can't.
Ask my kids. Yeah. I feel like these precious women just preached in their songs everything I would want to say. If you were paying attention to what you were singing, you should all be healed, whole, set free, blessed beyond measure, and all of your needs are met. Thank you. If I want to sit, I'm afraid I'll fall asleep if I sit. That just put me at such peace. I was so anointed and beautiful. I know I'm the queen of compliments, but that I just stood there and went, oh, what more do we need? Gorgeous. Corey, smartest decision you ever made after Jesus. And Jen, you too. And the rest of the worship team. So good. So good. Look, Pastor Chris, I'm opening my Bible. I have a tendency to share about my experiences with God, and I slip in how I've used the word, but I don't always go right to it and give you references and page numbers, and it makes him a little crazy. But then I pray for him, and he's back to normal. For those of you who haven't been around, I'll give you a 30-second snapshot. So I'm part of the pastoral team at UWCI. My husband, Robert, and I help pastor the church in Auburn. If you ever watch any of our services on Facebook, Pastor Chris said in team leadership. And at first people were like, huh, what? We don't have one pastor? You're messing with me again. You're messing with me. It's been the most beautiful thing. No one person has all this pressure on them. So my husband, Robert, and I are part of that team. Pastor Chris ordained us, I think, now 5 years ago. And we met Chris and Margie 7 years ago. We have a ministry to pastors, and we invite pastors into our home every other month, however the Lord leads. We just invite them in for fellowship because, boy, you just can't imagine how much they soak it up, how much it helps them to be in a room with other pastors who are walking the same walk. Maybe some are the older ones that can help the younger ones. Maybe the younger ones light a fire under the older ones sometimes. They stretch us a little bit. Robert and I are both older than Chris and Margie, but we've only been ordained for 5 years, so I like to think of myself as just a baby. Even though at dinner last week in Grand Prairie, they decided out of 15 or 17 people, why don't we let the oldest in the room go first? And I went, great idea. Oh my gosh, they were all looking at me. I went, there's no way I'm the oldest person in this room. But guess what? I was. I'm still not quite over it. That gives you a little insight into me. Maybe there's a little pride and vanity that clearly this is not my color. But Robert and I have been married 43 years. We have 4 children, 3 daughters-in-law, and 8 grandkids. And if you want to be my friend on Facebook, you have to understand, you will see pictures of my grandkids to the point where you want to buy them presents. You feel like you should be that close. And you'll see pictures of the food that my husband has cooked for me because he's also a chef and he's a restaurant consultant. So wherever we go, I have to take a picture of what we eat and put it on Facebook and tag the chef so that they feel special. So if you're looking for really good, meaty word, follow Chris and Margie. Okay. So I have quite a history of healing in my life. It started when I was 18 months old. And the doctors told my parents that I had leukemia, and they had 2 days to get my funeral planned. Clearly, he was wrong. I lived. I made it through that. My parents immediately went to their little Baptist preacher and said, "We don't have good news about our daughter. We need you to pray with us that God would heal her." I don't know what that little Baptist preacher thought, but they went back to the hospital to meet with yet another specialist. My mother told me that she just sent Dad down the hall. She said, I can't hear it from one more doctor. And she said she just sat back and was watching and praying. And all of a sudden, she saw my dad pick up the doctor and swing him around. Because the doctor said, "There's no leukemia in your daughter's body. Give it one more day. We'll watch her, but then take her home." So I got to go home instead of home at 18 months. And I think about the faith of my parents then. There they were just trusting God. I don't think at that time they had anybody telling them any different. But boy, when you're desperate for healing, they just stepped right in. And they trusted God. Five times before I was six, I had pneumonia. So way back in the late 50s and early 60s, way, way back there. Pneumonia was a very serious thing. So to have a little child who kept getting pneumonia, that was a little frightening for them, but I just kept coming back from it. I think it's kind of funny that this morning, that when I was just praying for you all and praying over what God wanted told, he said, "You left one out." In the 70s, at 19, I had my baby girl, and I wasn't married, and that's a whole other story that apparently will be in the book that Margie has decided I will write about that. But I worked at an ad agency, and I worked my way up from secretary to producing commercials and sales films. Just had a lot of boldness and just walked in and said, "Yeah, I can do this." But it showed up in my health because it was a pretty cutthroat business. And especially being female and being that young and being a single mom, I had a lot to overcome. And it showed up in my body in the form of colitis. So I was just sick all the time, but still working. And then I met Robert. And Robert worked with my sister, and the quick snapshot of that part is that my sister knew he was perfect for me, even though he was a born-again Christian. She knew he'd be perfect for me, and when I questioned why he wasn't perfect for her, but he was me, she said, "I don't know. I just see you with him, and I'm telling you, you're perfect. And when you meet my husband, you'll say, boy, was she right." Well, she told me the only thing was he was a born-again Christian, and I informed her I didn't want to date Jimmy Swaggart, had no intention, because I knew no other born-again Christian but Jimmy Swaggart from TV, the crying preacher. And God got quite a laugh, because I cry all the time over the goodness of God. So now I understand why that man cried all the time. Few days after, like a week after meeting Robert, he led me to the Lord, and I got healed of colitis. I never had another issue, and I totally forgot about that. Like, Lord, how do you forget something that, like, ruled my life? So anyway, that's a new one for the books. Okay, 1987. I love all of my notes. 1987. Around 1987, I don't know why I put that exact date. It must have come to me. But 1987, so now I've been married for 7 years. We have three more kids. Quickly, we just wanted to have so many children all at once. And I woke up one morning in so much pain, I could not move. Everything in my body hurt, absolutely. everything in my body hurt. And I called Robert into the room and I said, I can't get out of bed. I hurt so badly. I just can't get out of bed right now. And he was kind of, you know, disturbed by that. But he said, well, just rest a bit. And it didn't get better. It got worse. So I said, okay, let's get me to the doctor right away. Go into the doctor. He does blood test. He calls the next morning and he says, you need to come in here. Which is always the best thing, right? Just tell me on the phone. Just tell me now. So he said, you have rheumatoid arthritis. And I thought, achy joints, okay, it's just... And he said, no, it's much more than that. This is, you're going to have this forever, and it gets much worse, and I am so sorry to have to tell you this. And I just said, okay. And I remember sitting there thinking, well, God, you healed me of leukemia as a baby, so I'm going to trust you to take care of this. But we went home. I said, Robert, don't tell one soul what the doctor just said. Just keep me from my family so that my parents don't pick up on it. Make up something. I got to go to bed. I'm really hurting. On Sunday morning, I said, get me out of this bed and get me to church. He said, you want to go? I said, I have to be in church today. I said, I'm not laying here in pain. I just have to be in church. I have to go hear the word. I have to go get into worship. I need to be there. I didn't know that my healing was waiting for me there, but it was. I walked into church late. I sat in the second to the last row. I just slid in and worship was going on and I just held my hands up as much as I could, and I just worshiped God. And all of a sudden, the pastor's wife stopped worship. Can you imagine Jen just stop and called out your name? She said, Jean. And for a split second, I thought, she saw me come in late. She's really going to call me out right now. But she didn't. She said, Jean, Jesus is the name above all names. And he's the name above rheumatoid arthritis. I'm dear friends with this woman. And I said that day, why did you say that? She said, well, honey, that's what Jesus told me. And I just said it. I said, did you know? She said, no, I didn't know till you fell out on the floor. And I thought, she must have rheumatoid arthritis. That's exactly what she said. Philippians. But he emptied too. Sorry, guys, please don't even attempt to keep up with this. I apologize. But he emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the form of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me tell you, when she said that, and God talks to me like, I don't know, maybe it's the quantum thing. I have no idea what that is. But my brain shuts down when somebody says that Q word. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't want to get it. God will download what I need. But when she said that, in a second, I went, God, these are metal chairs. I don't want to go backwards. And I melted to the side. I've never been slain in the spirit to the side in my life. But I melted right down to the side. And I just heard him say those words to me. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I stood up and I had zero pain. I was completely healed. I went home rejoicing. Then I told my mom, who of course cried. She passed that on to me. We cry a lot. Why wouldn't you tell me? I didn't want any doubt. I didn't want any worry. I didn't want any unbelief. I had to stay with what God said. Just trust me. So I went back to the doctor. What do you need? I need another test. I already did the test. Well, maybe this time you'll see something different because I believe I was healed. He was so not happy. Did the test, no rheumatoid arthritis. None. Well, I don't understand this. Well, I do. It wasn't my job to save that man that day, and I just got out of there. I had my report. I didn't care anything else. God sent somebody else to witness to him. I'm not going to let him talk me out of it. Okay, so then we move forward. We're having a lovely life. We're raising children. We had, in 86, we had had our son get hit by a car right in front of us and knocked several feet. And he went through a healing. At the age of 3, he saw Jesus in the room, in the x-ray room with him, who said, Gabe, you're healed. And he told us that. They wouldn't let us in the x-ray room. And when I went in, since he got hit, I know I'm skipping a lot of details, but it's because of him, because he likes me to get right to the point. And I'm ready to tell you what I was wearing that day. Like, I'm gonna preach over here. But details are important to me. So I like seeing God in every little thing. I like looking for God in every little thing. Some people look for a demon behind every bush. Oh, that's the devil coming after you. No. I look for God showing up in my life in every little detail. Yes, the moose, the northern lights. These were just things that this is for free. I'll toss this in there. Do you ever start to do something and you get a little, and then you go, God, I don't know, maybe this wasn't you. Maybe I missed it. Maybe because the devil tries to just throw those darts of doubt at you. I check things off my box, off my list this week that I've had on my list for 20 years. I've wanted to see Northwestern Canada, a moose, and northern lights. And God's like, I got you. I'm letting you see all these things. Okay, enough about me. Let's talk about what else God did. So in 1995, I'm out shopping with Robert. The shopping cart breaks. I fall on top of the cart and I damage my vertebrae in my neck. For all the medical people, I don't know. It was a couple up here, a couple in the middle of the back. It was a mess. So I was being treated for that. So all of a sudden it develops into something where I get up to do a presentation to show women at the garden club how to make a wreath. And I have all of my stuff out. And 5 minutes into it, I leaned on the podium in front of me and I went, oh, I don't know if I can stand up. Something has just hit me like somebody threw a blanket on me. And so I said something like, and that concludes my presentation today with all these people going, you got 40 more minutes and 14 wreaths to make behind you. And I said, you need to help me get out of here. I need to get back to the store. Something's wrong. By the time I got to my shop, 10 minutes up the road, I was laying over the steering wheel and I don't know how I drove there. Went home, went to the doctor. They heard words like, oh, you fell in the parking lot of a store? Aha, you're trying to sue somebody and I'm not going to help you. I literally heard that like 10 times. Even up to the last time I got home that day, Robert came to get me. He got me in the house. He said, I think you're just overdoing it. I sat down on the couch. And he said, you know, I'll take care of lunch for the kids. Why don't you go upstairs and take a nap? I said, great idea. And he turned and went in the kitchen, and I'm sitting on the couch going, yep, great idea. Get up, go upstairs, take a nap. Yep, just stand up. Just put yourself right up. I could not move. I sat there going, I am telling myself to move and nothing is happening. And Robert turned around and he said, I thought you were going to take a nap. I went, I can't move. I can't. I'm telling my body to move and it's not moving. I got to tell you, that's a pretty scary thought. So Robert pulled me up to my feet and then I could walk. So got upstairs and those symptoms got progressively worse over the following 2 weeks to the point that I couldn't stand up on my own. They were carrying me into the emergency room, and every time these doctors would hear, well, what started? Pushing a shopping cart and it fell. Here's some pain pills. They thought I was faking it for a legal case. I'm not kidding. Five different emergency rooms. I'm like, how do you fake this? I can't move. But they didn't believe me. So finally get to a doctor who specialized in diagnosing diseases. He did some tests. He said, Robert, I've got a doctor I know can help her. He's the top neurologist in Cincinnati. I know he'll know what's wrong with your wife. But take her home. But if you notice, now there were four people behind me, one on either side, two behind me, like guiding my legs. I walked in like this to this doctor's office. I couldn't, like, don't let go of me, I'll fall. And they literally let go of me all at once, and I crumbled to the floor with one leg. I thought I broke my leg. It was twisted behind me. So I could not move. He said, if her breathing gets shallow, get her to the emergency room. That means whatever this paralysis is coming from is moving into her respiratory system, and that's bad. She'll die. So that night, my daughter had come home from Rhema Bible School. This is the one who I had at 19. I was advised to have an abortion at 19, and I refused to do it. Not by my parents. My parents lovingly were right there and helped me. But now this is 19 years later, and she's at Rhema Bible School in Oklahoma, and she drove all night to come be with me because she was so concerned about me. I'm laying on the couch. I couldn't go anywhere else. I'm laying on the couch, and I said, Jen, now also Bell's palsy settled in. So this side of my face is drawn up, and this side is drooping. So now I can hardly talk on top of it. I said, get me to my feet. She said, what do you need? I said, I need to worship. And she's, Mama, I said, I need to be on my feet. Stand me up, get your father, get your brothers, stand me up. I am not taking this. I am not receiving whatever this is. I am not dying. Stand me up and lift my arms and let's worship. And I wish you could have seen. They had me facing a wall so that if I went forward, the wall would catch me. So there I am. Can't stand by myself, just worshiping God. And I thought, I can remember going, God, you're so good. You are God. I just want to worship you. I'm not keeping my mind on these symptoms. I'm not keeping my mind on the fear of what's happening, what's going to happen. Why is this happening? What did I do to cause this? Where did the devil get in and put this on me? I didn't go there. I just had to worship. And I remember them helping me to sit down. They helped me get over to the couch. And my daughter laid on the floor next to me and had her hand on me and prayed all night long. Just prayed all night long. And as an evangelist said to me later, years later, You contended for her life at 19, and she was there to contend for your life at 38 when you were maybe dying. And I don't know if that does anything to you, but it still does something to me. Isaiah 43 says, put me in remembrance. Remind God and yourself of what His Word says. He's faithful to bring it to pass in your life. Just remind Him. Remind Him that 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. When Robert led me to the Lord, he asked me if I was going to go to heaven when I died. Classic question, right? And I said yes, because I'm a good person. You don't know me. You just met me. Trust me, I'm a good enough person to get into heaven. Gave him a few dumb reasons why. And he said, so Jesus was beaten beyond recognition, nailed to a cross, hung on that cross to get you into heaven, to purchase your place with your heavenly Father, with His blood. But He didn't need to do that for you because you're a good person. Do you want to tell Him that? I'm like, no. So that always stuck in my head when I needed healing. Wait a minute. He purchased this for me with His blood. Why do I have to lay here and be sick? Who says that's allowed to happen to me? Not the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus says, by my stripes you were healed. We have to believe it like we believe for salvation. Is anybody going to talk you out of the fact that you are going to be with your Heavenly Father throughout eternity? Can anybody talk you out of that? Why do we let... Well, but you've got something that people die from, so I don't know if... No, the Word is the Word. We either believe it or we don't believe it. It's either the truth or the whole thing's just a storybook. And we know that's not true. So you got to take the whole Word. Take the whole thing. Leave nothing on the table. Remember when you went to Walmart and had the carousels with the bags and you're like, did I get all my stuff? Because they're just, did they do those up here? They're throwing stuff in bags and you're like, I paid for it. Did I get it? Are you leaving any of my stuff behind? You get home and go, I know I bought soap. She didn't put it in there. So I always would check, do I have all my stuff? I'm not leaving anything here that's already been paid for. So I'm not leaving anything in here that Jesus has already paid for. Okay, I'm going to do my best to get through this because it's 11:30. Okay, it's 11:33. Means nothing. Means nothing. He always sees 11:11, so it's become a joke. Don't you love those private jokes that you're like, what? Okay, so the very next morning with Guillain-Barré, I'm on the couch. I've already worshipped. I know I'm healed. But the next morning, my breathing is shallow. Symptoms are worse. We all deal with that, right? We can deal with that. So Robert calls that doctor, and that doctor says, get her to the hospital. I'm going to call that neurologist. They went through so much trying to get me in the car because an ambulance would take me to the closest hospital, which wasn't the right one. I had to go 40 minutes away to the good one. So I get over there. Finally, they put me in ICU. They tell me, Michael's coming. Like, I don't know who Michael is. Michael, your friend Michael, the doctor, he called and said, I'll be at this restaurant having dinner. If this woman shows up, call me immediately. Like, and who is this doctor? Michael Schmerler. I can't wait to see him in heaven. Michael Schmerler, your friend. It's not my friend. Don't know who he is. And I'm sure they're like, she is nuts. So Michael Schmerler came in and said, the good news is I think I know what you have. I said, oh, that is good news. He said, I'm going to do some tests. I said, okay. Came back from the test and he said, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. And I said, laying there, can't move, face distorted, laying in ICU, I literally cannot move. I can't even turn my head. I was freezing. I couldn't pull up the sheet. Couldn't do anything. I said, no, let me tell you what's going to happen. And he went, oh, okay. What's going to happen? I said, in 5 days, I'm going home. Oh, okay. Why 5 days? I said, well, it's Thanksgiving. And the devil's not going to rob me of Thanksgiving with my little kids. It's not going to happen. I'll be home in 5 days. He said, okay. He said, I've seen miracles, and I believe you're going to get yours. So I'm going to believe with you.
Nice.
Okay? Goes out in the hall and says, Robert, I have to tell you, go get a rehab hospital lined up for Jean. She's going to be there for at least a year and a half. She's got to learn to chew and swallow and stand and breathe all over again. She can't do any of that. Her body doesn't know how. She has Guillain-Barré syndrome, which eats away the covering of the nerve. That sheath that covers your nerves, which gets the messengers to the brain, you know, pick up your arm. That's all gone. And it takes so long for it to grow back that she'll be at least a year and a half. There's no way to rush it. All we can do at this point is stop the progression of it so that we don't have to put her in a machine. I don't know if it was intubating me or a respiratory. I don't know. But it was one of those that was going to help me breathe because I was right on that edge of, should we put that on her now or not? He said, but she has faith, and I don't want to tell her this. I want her to just believe God. Robert's crying. Okay, all right. That man walked back in the room. Hey, honey. It was Didier who said, when I told him this story one day with Robert, wow, what an amazing story. I said, yeah. He goes, Robert, your faith. I'm like, Robert? I think you're maybe translation. I'm the one this happened to. He goes, you didn't know anything. Robert's the one that had the facts and had to stand with you and believe for your healing. Like, oh, yeah. Robert, this was 2 years ago. Robert goes, nobody has ever mentioned that. I've kept quiet about it. Nobody's ever said what great faith he had. But he did. He had to stand with me. And so here's what happened. The very next morning, the nurses come in. We have to get you out of bed. I'm like, okay. There's two of you. I don't know how. Great. Get me out of bed. They stood me up. They're holding on to me. I'm leaning against the bed. The one says, we forgot something. They both reach over to get it and let go of me at the same time. Now, 24 hours before, that happened at home and I crumbled to the floor. When they let go of me, I stood. And they grabbed me. Did you see what just happened? I go, yeah, I did. And they're looking at each other. I go, I'm not going to say anything. You're not in trouble. You let go and I stood. Let's get physical therapy in here right now. And they went, what? I go, get physical therapy in me. If I can stand, I can do more. Get physical therapy. This is not a commercial for you, but get physical therapy. Now, granted, I'm still going, get physical therapy in here right now. I mean, it's kind of funny, but you think about that. I think about that faith that rose up in me. I'm healed. Let's get this ball rolling. I'm going to keep going. I'll be home in 5 days. And so they called the doctor. My sweet Michael was off call, and his evil twin was there. Meanest, nastiest man walked in and went, what do you want? I said, I want physical therapy. I stood. That doesn't mean anything. I said, yes, it does. I want physical therapy. Are you denying me? Are you denying me? He walked out of the room mad. Can you imagine? Mad. I see him on the phone, and I see him doing this on the phone. She's crazy. Do you know I had to break that curse off of me? It stayed with me when I got healed later fully. A man in the church had a word about it. There's been a word curse spoken against you that you're crazy. Took it right out. So anyway, he comes back in the room madder. Well, Michael said to give you whatever you want. He said, anything you want, you get. So I guess we're starting physical therapy. And he stormed out of the room. I'm like, you don't have to do it. You're not canceling golf to do that with me. Physical therapy came in. They're looking at me like, okay, here we are. I go, maybe start with my legs. I don't know. Get my legs to move. They're like, all right. I'm sure they're looking at me like they had all been talking. So they started. So the next morning, physical therapy comes in. And I said, do you have a walker? They said, yeah. I said, will you get it and help me get up? Okay. So they brought in the walker. I said, can we go down the hall? And we're walking down the hall with me on barely leaning on the walker. And here comes that mean doctor. And he stopped. He goes, what are you doing? I go, walking. I said, physical therapy, help me. I'm walking. I said, come by tomorrow. I'll dance down the hall for you. I said, I heard there's something called the Macarena. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I could do it down this hall. Mad, mad, mad. Next day, here I come on crutches. Next day, I got a cane. I'm walking down the hall with a cane. And that was on Thanksgiving morning, and I was discharged from the hospital with nurses sobbing. You don't know. You don't know. We can't take you down the hall. I'm like, God did it. Yeah. I'm going home. Yes. I'm not putting up with this. No. So now I still have the cane. I still have pain in my back, which was kind of weird that the whole thing didn't happen all at once. But he healed me of the virus that came from the fall, but I still had the vertebrae issues. And so God, he's so good. So it was Christmas now. This went on for about 3 weeks. I'm using the cane, trusting God for my healing. Still not real strong, but I'm not paralyzed, so that was good. Run into a former pastor. We had moved away and we'd just come back. And he said, what are you doing with a cane? I said, oh, it's a long story, but I got healed and I'm believing God for the rest of it. He said, wait till you see what's happening at our church every Friday night. We're having a celebration of Jesus. You ought to come. We're seeing miracles. I said, I'll be there. So I went, took our teenage son with us who got totally blasted in the Holy Ghost. Another long story, but he ended up being a missionary in Grenada for 2 years and saving thousands at 18, 19 years old. So we go to this service, and the next week, Randy Clark comes. Randy had trained a ministry team. I was of that, I need Randy to pray for me. You know how you put that on the speaker? And so instead, he had trained people in how to pray. Little old people sitting in the congregation had been trained how to pray for people. So he lines them all up in front of the church and said, if you need healing, come on up. Now, there's like 1,500 people there. So I get up as quick as I can. I get to the front with my cane, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking, going, where's Randy's line? I want Randy's line. Randy's not in the line. So I see this one guy doing this with both arms, standing up there. Others are jerking. I'm like, let me pick out the least craziest person here. I came to the windmill guy and I went, anybody but him. I don't want him. He made a beeline for me when it said, go pray. He came right up. He said, God showed me, you're healed. And he put his hand up and I slammed through the usher's arms, hit the floor hard. And I felt this electrical shock go through my spine. I thought, did I land? Did somebody kick me? Did the person behind me like get healed and kick? Like, that's what it felt like. And all of a sudden, laying there, I was at this beautiful table. And it was the most gorgeous table. White linens draped to the floor. Crystal bowls and Jesus right here. And I was seated at the head of the table, and Jesus was standing right next to me. I don't know why. I saw him from like the knees down. I saw his robe. I saw his sandals. I knew it was him. And I said, what is this? Psalm 23 didn't really click while I was out, right? He said, I've prepared a table for you. There are bowls of no fear, bowls of prosperity, and bowls of healing. And you eat from those bowls. This is what I prepared for you. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And I looked and I went, who's that? And I had telezoom vision in this vision. And I zoomed in on the devil sitting there. And I went, what's he doing here? Because the in the presence of your enemies hadn't really clicked in my brain right then. And he said, look closer. And I looked, and he was bound with barbed wire, and he was gagged. And I said, Jesus, what's that? He said, he's bound because he cannot touch you. And he's gagged because he cannot tell you no. How many times do we listen to the lies of the enemy? He can't tell us no. I don't care what he says. It has no effect on me. He's not the prophet of my life. I just rejoiced, and all of a sudden I was back on the floor in the church, and this man walked over, an elder in the church, and that's when he said, there's a word, lean down. There's a word curse that was put on you. You're not crazy. You're in your right mind. Soon as he said it, I saw that doctor doing this, and I went, well, that's off of me. So now Robert's waiting and waiting and waiting for me to get up from being prayed for, and he's ready to jump up to help me. It was the Gone with the Wind scene with the bodies all over the floor. He couldn't get to me. I sat up and bent over and picked up the cane and walked away with it, completely free of pain, totally, completely healed. That's where you go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, I don't even remember the year. It's, yeah, I do. 2010. I was taking care of my mother-in-law. She had Alzheimer's. It was at 10 years of taking care of her and doing 6 jobs at the church, not his, at a church where they let me have 6 titles because I buzzed around and got it all done. So if somebody's going to buzz around and get it done, you just keep loading more on them, right? Yeah. No, you should not, but it did happen. And so I was worn out with doing stuff for God, totally worn out, didn't rest, didn't take care of myself, didn't get good sleep. I did things God didn't want me to do. God told me, I don't want you to do them. I want you to go say, no, I can't do this anymore. So instead of doing that, I went in and said, I need to let go of a couple things. And God stopped me and said, that's not what I told you. I went, yeah, I know, but I can keep doing it. I'm okay. So didn't listen. A friend called. I feel like God's telling me to warn you. You really need to rest and get some help. I said, oh, well, brilliant idea. Why don't you send me that help and send me that rest? Because I rejected even a warning from a friend. Can you imagine? So because of that, I got so sick. And when my mother-in-law moved to heaven, I just thought I was tired. Went to the doctor. They did blood tests. They called back that night. Left a message that said, get to the nearest hospital as quick as you can. I'm like, here we go. Ding, ding, ding. What is this, round 4? So I get to the hospital, and this doctor proceeds to yell at me because I should be dead. He said, You shouldn't even be here. You should be. I mean, he's literally yelling at me. I'm like, am I apologizing for being alive here? What is this? And so he said, you need a blood transfusion. You need 5 units of blood. I thought, well, that's why I'm so tired. I'm low on blood, like fill up the gas tank. And so long story short, he gave me the blood finally. And they said, let's find out what happened. Did some tests, called me and said, you have celiac disease. And I went, because I wasn't going to get into agreement with it. And I said, well, what do we do for that? He said, well, you can't eat gluten. I said, what's gluten? He said, it's the stuff that's in flour, that, you know, bread. I go, so I just can't eat bread? Yeah. Okay. Do I need surgery? Can't have surgery for this. Can you give me pills? No pills for this. Okay. So I can't eat gluten. No bread. Got it. I'm like, I'm good with that. He said, no, it's much worse than that. And this leads to, and he tries to proceed to list all the diseases that celiac disease can lead to. And I went, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and all your help. And I will not eat gluten, I promise. So I went home and then found out that gluten's in just about everything in my house. My husband's a chef. He had to learn to cook again. My kids hated the holidays because gluten-free gravy just didn't cut it. We were scared to have gluten in the house, not just on my plate. I would get very, very sick if I mistakenly ate it, just really, really ill. So I said, God, you've healed me of all these things. Why would you not heal me of this? There's no reason for that. And so got back on the word, just got the word before me, declared those scriptures. I declared that Jesus took stripes on his back for my healing. I declared I was already healed. And for 7 years, the one disease that was supposed to take me out for 2 years, I get healed of in 5 days. The one that, to me, I'm like, leukemia, Guillain-Barré, all these fancy names, this is nothing. I still don't know why it took 7 years for it to manifest, but Pastor Chris had introduced us to Annelise von Rendsburg. And Annelise, we had arranged for her to speak at a church on Easter Sunday, and she was with us, so we brought her out there. And we went into the service. These people had been praying and fasting because Annelise was coming. They wanted to see miracles because they knew all about her husband Kubis's ministry. And so I walked into that church and I thought, did they install a fog machine here? Because it was misty. Nobody else is walking around going, oh, wow. I thought, you know, cleaning my glasses the whole bit. So I go in and I sit down, and they had prepared a dinner for us the night before and forgot that I had to eat gluten-free. So while they ate lasagna, I ate a salad with a lemon squeezed on it. Man, that was good. So I go into the service, and there was precious, beautiful worship like this morning. And I'm focusing on worship. And I was right back to when I had Guillain-Barré, and I just went, God, you're so good to me. You are so good. You're such a good God. And I began to weep over the goodness of God, just like you were singing this morning. I wept standing there going, God, my mind wasn't on being healed of celiac or bills sitting on the desk or anything else. It was just on how good our Heavenly Father is, how amazing He is to us. He saved us. He sent His Son for us. When's the last time you really thanked God for that? Like, seriously, God? That It's amazing what you've done, let alone all the other things that he's done in my life. And I just kept seeing all of the blessings of God. But I just, as I focused in the worship, it was like love itself was standing before me. And all I could do was worship him and thank him for his goodness and thank him for loving me so much. And all of a sudden I heard, "You're about to see how good I can get." And I burst out laughing. I mean, like the joy of the Lord bubbled up and I just burst out laughing. And this little girl in a little Easter bonnet in front of me looked up, reminded me of Frankie's age. She looked up and started laughing with me. And she went right back to worshiping. And so then I looked at Robert thinking he's going to look at me going, "I heard what you were saying." And so I said, "You're about to see how good he can get." So for a split second, I thought, was that him? He's just worshiping God. Everybody was. And I went, "Oh God, I don't presume to know what that means fully, but thank you." And then I went, "But why? What do you mean? What do you mean I'm about to see how good you can get?" And he said, "Go eat whatever you want." And I burst into tears because I knew the healing I'd been waiting for 7 years had manifested right then. Because when he said it, I received it. I thought I had fully received it through the word, but this went down in my spirit. I fully received what God was saying. Out of a place of worship, with my eyes not on my problems, with my eyes not on what I needed God to do for me, but my eyes just on how good he is and how much he loves us. You know, God will use us to lay hands and pray for you, but it's the love of God for you that's healed you. That's how he sees you. You're his daughter. You're his son. Everything he is in you. Why do we doubt? Why do we go, "Yeah, but this he probably can't do. This I got to get myself out of. Or if I just stop eating gluten, I'm okay." No, that's not living in the fullness of what he has for us. Just because that's who he is. He loves us so much. I received that. I jumped up out of that aisle and went, "Go eat. I'm a woman of action." Chris will attest. Maybe we should. I'm done. I already did it. I anticipated it. I heard you say maybe and I went and did it. Can get me into trouble sometimes, but still. So when he said, "Go eat whatever you want," I looked, and here came the pastor's daughter with the keys coming out of the hall where the kitchen is. And I went out of the aisle, and I go, "Come here. I need a cookie." She goes, "Okay." She thought I was at, like, low sugar, glycemic and something, whatever that is, and that I needed, like, "I need sugar." So we run down the hall, and she goes, "I don't have gluten-free cookies." I said, "Well, apparently I don't need to eat gluten-free cookies anymore." She went, "What?" I said, "Unless I missed it, and I know I didn't, I can eat whatever I want." She gets me a cookie, and I'm like, "Calm down." I ate a bite and set it down. She goes, "Do you have an EpiPen in case something happens?" I said, "EpiPens don't work for gluten. So no, I don't have an EpiPen." "Okay, so what if you did miss it? What's going to happen?" I said, "I didn't miss it. But if I jump up and run out of here in 45 minutes, it means I'm sick as a dog from eating that bite of a cookie." She goes, "Okay." So I said, "But I didn't miss it. I know what God said." And I went back out and I continued. And Robert's just smiling at me like, "Isn't this a great service?" After service, we go into the pastor's luncheon. They serve the lasagna, and Charity comes and gives me a piece of lasagna, and everybody goes, "No, she can't have that." I go, "Yes, I can." They went, "What?" I go, and Robert's looking at me. I go, "Here's what just happened to me." And then a prayer meeting, worship service broke out in that room, and we cried, and I've got it on tape. We worshiped God. We were so excited over the miracle that had taken place in my body during worship. I didn't have anybody lay hands on me then. Hey, you know what? Whatever God does through you, just receive it. Let him do it in any way. You can have a crazy acting person come pray for you. You can stand and worship God. You can read the word. You take that word in. You stand on that word. You don't let anybody budge you off of that word. You remind yourself of who you are. I am strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, I am blessed according to Deuteronomy 1 through 4. I'm crucified with Christ in Galatians. I am in Christ Jesus by his doing. I am born of God and the evil one does not touch me. 1 John 5:18. I could go on and on with the word. So you get your eyes on the word so that you know. Too often, what do we do? Well, here's what this medicine says it's going to do to me if it doesn't work right. Okay, I guess pretty soon, even though I took this pill, I'm going to have a headache and high blood pressure. We see all these other things written down and we take that as fact. We hold on to it. We sometimes take it as truth. God's word is truth. They're going to give you facts, but truth overrides it. The ways that God had the healing word manifest in me were different. The way it manifested was different, but some things did not change. I went into my prayer closet when my kids were little and I said, God, my kids need some things and I'm not going to tell them, no, I can't afford it. So I'm trusting you to take care of this for me. But what do you have to say to me about it? And he said, how about you teach them the word and I'll take care of everything else. You get the word into your kids and I'll take care of the rest. I said, okay, God, because Gabe really wants those Nike shoes and they're expensive. And I don't want to tell him no, but I have four kids who will want them. All of them will want them. Right? But God, I hear what you're saying and I'm trusting you to keep your word. Left my prayer closet. 10 minutes later, my phone rings and it's my father-in-law. Hey, I know it's not Sunday night when I usually call because it's cheaper, but I wanted to tell you I put a check in the mail. I want you to watch for it. I said, well, thank you, Dad. Huh, you haven't even seen it yet. You don't even know how much it is. I said, well, you're sure not calling me about a $20 check, are you? He, oh, not saved, led by God. Oh, I guess I wouldn't. Yeah, you got me there. Okay, I go, Dad, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, call me when it comes in. Click. I just stood there and went, God, that was so fast. I don't know if God had said that to me. Oh, yeah, sure. Stand on the word. Tell me where I'm getting the shoes. Forget the word. Where do I get the money for the shoes? I'm pretty sure my father-in-law would have gone, I can give this to the Salvation Army. I'll wait. I'm not sending this check now. He could have. But God spoke it. I received it. I held on to it. I knew God meant it. I trusted him to keep his word. That check came for thousands of dollars. Everybody got new shoes. The church got a nice check. You can pay me later for slipping that in there. Months later, I'm folding laundry, and I said, "Now, God, I talked to God. You can't always, when you're busy, you talk to God when you can, right? You purpose in your heart. I'm getting up at 3 o'clock, and here come the kids. I don't feel good. I just got up to pray early, and here you are, but you just press in. I'm doing laundry, and I said, you know, God, I've heard that we're supposed to thank you before something even happens, before we see it happen. How come I do that? I'm happy to do it, but you know me. I want to know why. I'll do anything you ask. Just tell me why. That's the kind of kid I was. He said, when your father-in-law called and told you he put that check in the mail, what did you say? I said, thank you. Right. You thanked him profusely. You hadn't even seen it. Right. Okay. He said, now what if you said to him, all right, when that check comes, I'll call you back and say thanks. I said, he would have stopped payment on that check quicker than anything and probably would have ended any future checks. He said, right, because it would sound like you didn't believe him until you see it. You didn't trust him at his word. So we thank God even when the symptoms are there. We thank him for restoring our hearing. We thank him that it's done. We thank him that the symptoms the doctor tried to put on us and tell us, well, you've got this, but it's going to lead to that. We thank God in the midst of that. We thank him when it hurts to walk. We thank him when the bills are sitting there that look like they're unpaid. We thank him. Thank you, God. You daily supply all of my need. That's everything. According to his riches and glory, not according to what you get for logs or grain or a paycheck. Right? We thank him before we see it manifest. So I would just worship God and thank him for everything. I thank him for healing me. I thank him that these symptoms have left my body. I thank you, Father, that I can walk pain-free. I thank you that every part of my body, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, function the way you designed it to function, and I don't have to take anything less. I thank you that the blood of Jesus covered all of that. The blood of Jesus bore my sins there on the cross, along with the diseases and the sicknesses. It's all there. It's already paid for. Take it all. Don't leave anything on the table. Worship him and thank him for doing this already. Regardless of what reports say. Because one day, very soon, if not today, if not tomorrow, I don't want it to take 7 years for anybody, but the point is it manifested. So I don't care if it took 7 years. God showed me so much. But don't be pushed off of that place of what the word says. Don't listen to friends, enemies, the devil, yourself. Don't listen. You just say, but by his stripes I am healed. And thank him. Just thank him. And watch your words. Just get in agreement with the word. Take it for you. Put your name in there. By Jesus' stripes, Jean was healed. Put your name in there and hold on to it. And don't be budged. Don't be moved by what you see. Thank you, Father, Father, I thank you for all of the healings that have taken place in my body. Father, I thank you so much that you're no respecter of persons, and what you did for me, you do for anyone else. What you've done for these people, you'll do for me. I thank you, God, that all of my needs are met. I thank you, Father, that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you came to give me life and life more abundantly. And in that abundance is wholeness and completeness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. I just see you all standing on your feet, thanking God for whatever you need. We're going to pray for anybody who wants prayer, but I see you standing on your feet, taking this word into your spirits and saying, yes, whatever it is that you have need of, just thank God that it's already done. And then move into thankfulness and worshiping God, your Father, who has all this for you and loves you so much. He loves you with a love that sometimes we think we can't comprehend it, but he pours it out on us. Thank you, Father. Can you play Goodness of God or sing it, whatever you want? That all my life you have been faithful. This song puts me over the edge every time.